Live from the No One Wants to Sponsor This Show studio, it's the Brian Mood Show.
What's going on, guys? Thank you for hanging out. It's the Brian Mood Show. I appreciate you. Got a special episode today. Going to be some people that you're going to hear from. It's kind of a mishmash of a couple tapings I've done in the last few months before I decided to go independent. But first of all, I want to thank each and every one of you guys, man. All the beautiful things you guys said. Super inspiring. And I'm laughing kind of because my computer is covered in pollen, and I'm coming to you from R.H. Burrell Park in Auburn, Georgia. I'm sitting at a chess table. I'm kind of hoping somebody comes over here and like challenges me. Like, they've been waiting for someone to come and sit at this chess table for years. Like, you know that scene in Indiana Jones? And I think it's the Lost Ark, where they go and they gotta sip out of the cup, and there's this old knight. He's been there forever and just waiting for a challenge. That kind of thing. So, if you're in Auburn, that was a garbage truck, by the way. That's so perfect. So perfect for how, like, the first kind of episode of this show is going to launch. Garbage truck backing up, and I'm sitting at a chess table. But if you're in Auburn for the next 30 minutes or so, well, depending on when you hear this, just if you're in Auburn and you see someone sitting at that chess table, it's me. So come on out here and challenge me to a duel. I kind of imagine a man like Gandalf coming out from behind one of these old businesses here right by the park, walking past this water mill that is slowly trickling next to me, providing an ambiance and challenging me to the game. Like, he's been waiting for this forever. So, why am I in Auburn? That's a fun question. So look, when I said that this show is going to be community based, we're going to build a really strong group of people who just want to do good things and have fun and laugh. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to be about it. So I'm at, I just got done dusting off my playground monitor skills at the Auburn Elementary School Tiger Bash. And I had the honor and, I don't want to say punishment, but, you know, when you come out of recess monitoring retirement, you need to go to the hardest circuit for one of the things. It was like a field day. And I had the Frisbees. So if you can imagine, like 30 second graders winging Frisbees around. No tears, but some kids got beaned pretty good. And I got hit a couple times. We had targets, but the targets, though I told the kids the targets were the goal, really seemed like they thought the targets were kind of an insinuation or just kind of a, you know, a recommendation. But it's funny, man. You watch little kids throw Frisbees. Some kids get it. Right? And they're like, oh, throw for the buckets. And some kids just reel one, just fling it into the outer space, no regard for where it lands. And then you got those kids that look you right in the eyes and you know immediately, they're not going to listen to you. And that's funny. It reminds me of just when I got out of college and I moved back to Seattle, like right when I started doing stand-up comedy in 2006, I worked in special ed for a while as a parapro. Then I was a substitute special ed teacher. And it just reminded me of when I walked onto the campus, like the first day, they were like, Brian's got recess duty. And I was like, you better believe I do. And I'd be out there dunking on kids. They all thought I was Shaquille O'Neal because I was gigantic compared to them. And now I realize that's how you like cut your teeth in education. When you're the new person, you got to run the Frisbee Center. You got to be the one ducking, dipping, diving, and dodging for your life, as Frisbees are flying at you every which way. So look, I'm gonna be out and about. You know, this show is gonna be a radio-based show. We're gonna have segments, like I said, that you're gonna love, and that'll be a lot of fun, and interviews, that'll be fun. But also, you know, I'm gonna get out and do some fun stuff and have a good time. So tomorrow I'm gonna be out in Covington. I'm hosting the pep rally at the Newton County STEAM Academy. They have a pretty good little, They have a lot on the itinerary, so it's going to be a lot of fun. They actually asked me if I still wanted to do it after, you know, radio kind of disappeared on me out of the blue. And I said, of course, you know, like, that's what I love about this job. That's why it's such a cool job, to connect with people and have a good time and goof around and have fun. So if you can, make sure you tell everybody, share posts. You know, the more people that I can get on board with listening every day and hanging out with us and helping out, do cool things, little community service projects or whatever, the more companies I can get on board, to help change people's lives, do some cool stuff. So like I said, we're in the works of talking with Confident in Alpharetta and also Integrity Dental Services. They're based out of North Georgia as well, about doing some stuff to really help out with smile reconstruction and teeth straightening and stuff that just helps people get, you know, another boost of confidence, you know, as they go into the summer and into next year. So, all right. So this episode, like I said, is going to be a little bit of two parts. The first part is going to be a voice you know very, very well. So this first segment's going to be one, a voice you know very, very well. It's a good friend of mine, Davi Crimmins, who I've done radio with before. And she used to be a frequent on the radio show, on the morning show, Moot, Kimmy, and Otis. Also, you will hear Kimmy and Otis. This is a little podcast we taped just kind of outside the show one day, just goofing around, and it's a lot of fun. So here's a little bit of that. And then after that, you're going to hear from Rondell Smith, Georgia followers, and a really good friend of mine in Dallas, Texas, Jasmine Sadri, who's a very, very talented radio personality and actually hosts a little country show now on video that I'll link over to in the episode comments. So thank you guys so much. And yeah, I appreciate all the love and support. Blowing all the pollen off my keyboard right now.
When we first started dating, my first Valentine's Day gift from him was a, it looked like a samurai sword, but it was an umbrella.
And it, oh, that's awesome.
And I worked like a couple blocks away, so it was a short walk, but not a great neighborhood. And he's like, "This will keep you safe."
Yeah, hell yeah.
Because it just looks like
Who's the white girl walking around with a samurai sword?
I mean, if you saw a little 5'3" weirdo with pigtails and a samurai,
that's not the one.
Alleged samurai sword.
Yeah, that's the interesting part about a samurai sword. That weapon is so obscure. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna roll the dice that you don't know how to use it or it's fake, right? Uh-huh. Like, it's not like if you see somebody walking around with like a weapon, like an everyday, I've got a gun. Well, maybe it's not loaded, they're not a good shot or whatever.
Yeah.
But with a samurai sword, you're like, that person definitely knows how to use that.
I'm like 90% sure.
And the death is going to be very intimate and way more painful than just a straight shot.
10% she's insane. 90% she knows exactly what she's doing. So I'm not going to gamble with that.
100% she's going to look me in the eyes as I bleed out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Watch it happen.
Not today.
Thankfully, nothing happened because, again, it was just an umbrella. at the end of the day, I could not really protect myself with it. But then after that, he got me a mace gun. This was kind of cool.
I love it. He just gets you weapons every year, right?
It makes me feel really pretty. I'm like, the fact that you think everybody wants to come and get me and kidnap me all the time is so nice. And
the safety theme.
Yeah,
okay.
Safety
I'm learning
themes.
Something here. I might go with weapons.
Yeah,
I'm afraid to buy my wife weapons because I feel like
you might be.
You know when you read those articles that are like 90% of gunshot victims were shot by someone in their own home. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fall on that side.
Yeah. That's a picture percentage. Of your wife going, oops.
Oh, well. Healthy fear of her.
Right. Well, I just feel like, you know, I just feel like if it's going to get used, I know where it's, odds are, I know who's getting the end of it.
Yeah. But he still gets good Valentine's Day gifts, and they're not all safety themed now, and he has started writing poetry, which is really freaking annoying. So he wrote me a poem last year, and I think the year before, and I'm like, you got to stop. Because now the competition, like, it's getting worse. So I thought when we got married, it would be over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we don't have to do these gifts
anymore. Are we supposed to write jokes about him?
Yeah,
look,
what do I do?
I love the poem. I roasted the holy hell out of you. We're going to exchange gifts.
And his birthday is, like, right before Valentine's Day. So I'm one of those people that's, like... Oh.
Can
I combined.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
I do. I hate it. You know, does anybody have like a birthday that's near Christmas?
No. Mm-hmm. Mine's right in the middle of the year. Okay. I spread it out.
Nice.
My son's is January 18th, and my wife is super concerned that, and I'm going to say, honestly, after Christmas, he's little, it feels like I just bought presents for you, dude. Like,
you
I don't even know.
You did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to get worse the more
expensive. And he didn't even change. So I was like, oh, man, I'll get him something in January. He's the same kid.
Yeah,
he was in December. There's not enough breathing time.
I don't know. They grow a lot in like just a few months. It's blowing my mind. I couldn't look at your kid and tell you how old they are. Like I'm like could be 3 months, could be 6 years. I don't know. I have no idea. But they like since Blair has become an educator, he started teaching, and they're little. Like the oldest kids he teaches are 4.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll teach like 10-15 minute classes, and then a whole new age group comes in, and they can just be 2 months apart, and like their brains are crazy different. Whoa. It's kind of fascinating how much
that part changes too quickly. Much. Otis, you'd see
that. You call him an educator. He's a glorified babysitter.
Educator. It sounds
fancy. Curriculum, man.
And then I even was like, oh, there's
I'm
my
kidding,
Valentine's
Blair.
Day gift. Like, you know how much teachers love apples, right? I can just give them nice Honeycrisp or something for Valentine's Day. Teachers freak out about apples.
That's so funny. I feel like if like Jessica, I was with someone who was a songwriter, and notice you're super musical. Like if you do a song, it's kind of like, I know what you're doing, and no, I don't feel like crying today. Leave me alone. I want nothing to do with tear jerker. And now I'm like, what did you get him? Nothing. So make my flowers look like crap now.
Well, at some point, it's like you enjoyed making that gift too much, and I need you to suffer a little bit with it. Like I'm suffering trying to find the right thing for you.
Quit showing off.
Exactly.
It's supposed to be the thought that counts, not like your stage time and your beautiful voice and all those things.
My whole life, I've wanted to write a song for the woman I love, and I finally pulled that off for our anniversary a couple years ago, and I was so excited about it. I thought it was a pretty solid song. It's not one you're gonna hear on the radio. It's not gonna be number one on the chart.
Come on.
It's something that I wrote though that is special and very intimate to who we are, and in the moment I was like, this is incredible. This is a gift she's gonna like want to listen to later on in life.
She's going to come home every day and she's listening around
to it. Yeah. I want to occasionally walk in and you're just.
What were the lyrics like? Your husband is so handsome.
Super self-serving. Sometimes he screws up. You should forgive him for that.
What's funny you asked. Now you have it queued up right now.
Thank you. How did I know?
Not once have I caught her listening to it. Matter of fact, I don't think she's ever listened to it again. So now I'm on the back side of the song where I'm like, well, that didn't fucking matter.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, all that
worst.
Effort and, like, heart I put into that doesn't care.
I think We played it for her on the radio, on the show, right?
Yeah.
So that's the best way to debut that. Because I feel like the pressure and the stakes are so high.
If you make hold her hostage to act like
she
likes
you? If you make a song and she comes in the kitchen and you're like, I made this for you, click, and she's like, oh, that's cool. How long? Is it three verses or just two?
I'm locking the doors and I'm going to sing
babe, the
at
bridge.
You.
Babe, you got to hear the bridge. The bridge yet.
I had a legit country artist sing the song, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I feel like now that I look back on it, I'm like, not how I thought that was going to go.
This conversation's coming back around in just a few weeks here on the show. We have to, because that is funny. The thing, the grand gesture, this is why I hate shopping for people that, like, you really want to impress, like my wife. Like, I love her, and she's tough to shop for. And so I'll go rogue with something that's super sentimental.
You think it's super cool.
Yeah, and then I can see a look on her face, and it's, like, not disappointment. It's, like, befuddled. It's, like, befuddled as to, like, what it is.
And you're like, you get it.
Right?
You get it,
and you,
right?
like, start explaining it way
so
too much.
So excited to hand it to her. You know it's going to be perfect. And then you get,
man.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, it's just not always your strong suit. My sister's husband, same kind of thing. The thought is there. He's like, I'm going to get you this necklace. You're going to love it. You're going to wear it all the time. It's just not the right style. So my sister just circumvents it all the time, and she only tells him what to get her at this point.
That's kind of smart.
Right,
and
so
like
the
people
thought
used
doesn't
to
count.
No,
right.
Because your thoughts are wrong. That's the problem.
I thought about the bank account. That was a lot of thought.
I do love that you had the wherewithal to be like, I wrote her this song, but I'm not going to sing
it. That is.
Because I like, not that she doesn't like your voice, but she hears it all day long.
Right.
You know?
And I just thought,
you're like, I'm going to outsource this. This is a very millennial move, and I appreciate that.
Right. And it turned out amazing. And, apparently I enjoyed it way more than
I remember it was annoyingly good. Which is what happens because, like, you know, when you're on a morning show, you're like, is Gavin to write her a song for our anniversary? We're like, oh, yeah.
You were ready.
Yeah, let's do that.
To
one.
Make fun
yeah,
of
oh,
him.
Totally. You're like, you're like ready for the jokes, and it's too good, and you're like, all right, well, that was just really good.
Hold on.
It's playing on air, and you're like, no, this is no fun. No. It needs to suck.
One thing, though, that you have going against you, and if I remember correctly, the song was late. You forgot your anniversary.
But that was the special part about it.
No.
That's the memorable
you
part.
You forgot your anniversary, so then you wrote this song. And so
had written the song before. I just hadn't had it back.
Okay, well, you were clawing from behind at that point versus if you had had it on the day.
But see, then we didn't, you know, clutter the whole show up. We cleared out space, and we're like, Otis's debut of this song.
Yeah.
And I think she teared up and stuff when we did it because we played it for a live in here, didn't we?
I remember that. Oh, I remember listening to her do it. I don't think there were tears.
She cried. We got it on video. But it was a moment in time that as just that. It's just that moment. There's no, there's
the
no
only
residual
one you got.
Right, from the song. There's
She's
no,
never
it's
brought
not
it
on
up
her
again.
Playlist.
Do you,
is what I'm saying.
Okay, do you think that that happens with, because that happened to you, this would be a funny question next time we talk to an artist who's written love songs, especially if they're married or something, but they write this love song, like Cody Johnson's The Painter. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. That song's incredible. His voice is incredible. I wonder if he feels the same way. We're like, it's going to chart, be number one, and his wife's like, oh yeah, I heard that song. Yeah, but like, it's almost like a, it's almost like a point of pride where you don't want to let them think that they really nailed it to a point that's like
right.
a level too high. Like, you got to keep everybody humble.
Why?
I don't know. No. Just throwing it out there.
I have a problem then, because I guess everybody like way too much. Yeah. And like, why be humble? I'm going to tell you that's the greatest thing. And it, you literally just, you farted gas- on a microphone and it's the greatest song I've ever heard.
Do you gas up Blair's music like that?
I do,
and then he goes
yeah.
on stage and everybody's like, mmm.
No, I love it. And I think people enjoy it. But then people start pointing out stuff to me that I didn't notice. They're like, oh, the first album, like when you guys first got together in 2010, he wrote that album and he had like
real dark.
No, it was like happy love songs.
Oh, now he's getting sad.
There's a song called I Love You, That's All, and then one about like making love and stuff, and like called Little Red Train, and all these great songs. And now we're 10 years in, and his newest album,
Who's Doing Dishes?
There's a song called You're a Pain, and everybody's like, okay, big difference.
That's super funny.
They think you're always the character in the song.
Yeah, I'm like, that one's not about me.
I promise.
I don't think.
I'm not claiming that one.
You're always leaving dirty clothes on the living room floor.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the lovemaking song.
Oh, see, that's a problem.
What if he turned it on during that
Oh,
moment?
During?
Yeah.
No.
That's weird.
Like, yeah, that's an ick.
Well, like, I had a ex-boyfriend that got in a band for whatever reason. Not good. And they had, like, a party. Like a house party, and they were playing their demo like on a loop.
Oh no!
And
oh,
then all the bandmates were like,
hostages.
"And now we go to our bedrooms with our girlfriends, so we can listen to our music while we
Whoa.
Do it." And I was
right.
like, "I don't want to participate.
That's not.
You can take a different girl this time.
They
I'm totally
album
cool with
on.
It.
Well,
you have a hall pass awesome. For an hour.
What is that face you're making?
It's weird. I don't like yeah. that. So no, I cannot. I can't. I can't engage in that. He did. He wrote a song that's called Little Red Train, and people are like, this is fun. It's about a train. yeah. And I'm like, you have no idea.
Chugga, chugga, choo-choo.
Wait till that train gets to the end.
So much innuendo. It is nasty.
So music can make things, like, especially like intimate moments, super, super awkward.
Yeah.
And if you're not prepared for like what's like coming up in your playlist, I met this rapper in San Diego named Swayze. Swayze?
Yeah.
And
he took Swayze.
Swayze, yeah. And he's kind of like an undergroundy type, like, you know, alternative rapper. And he came to my comedy show at the Comedy Palace and then was like, hey, you want to come on our tour bus? So then I drove around on his tour bus with a couple comics. And that was crazy because those guys never sleep. Like, we rolled up to these weird strip clubs all night long. But I downloaded some of his songs. And he's got one song that's called I Just Want to F Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Love is overrated. Right?
That's the whole thing.
And I was dating this girl. We kind of weren't like, we weren't super familiar with each other, but we were like, you know, we've been dating for like a couple weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was in that, getting to that point where it's like, hey, are we like gonna actually be dating? And for some reason, my phone would rotate songs as an alarm clock.
Oh.
So the song that woke her up to was Swayze. I just want to blow up tonight. Love is overrated. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm just like, wow, I'm just hitting the top of my phone and it's like not turning off. And then my reaction made her go like, why? Like, yeah, I've heard that song before. I'm like, oh, right, let's go.
It's not weird.
No,
not
at all.
Don't read deeply.
Have you ever had like a weird song come on during that? You can share the
during
story.
Intimate adult activities.
If I did, I blocked it out.
Okay. I wish I could block mine out, man. It bugs me every freaking day.
Nah, it's typically, if the music's coming on, there's a playlist that's ready for like
okay.
know, Pandora or whatever.
But like, what about
okay,
if,
but if you're a guy,
yeah,
are you critical of yourself by how far you made it through the playlist?
You're like that.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, how
five
many? You're like, God, I never make it past Genuine.
I got
it. I never make
A song and a half. A pop song and a half.
Yeah, I like these
song.
Short ones. Yeah. I got a lot of Lil Nas X on there.
Let's just say
90-second songs.
Your rhythm slows a little bit if you got the right beat
yeah.
on. You know what I'm
like,
saying?
Like, country is, that's lovemaking, because that's a slower rhythm usually, but those pop songs are like, it's like, get out of here.
No, you go with, like, Usher.
Yeah. Okay, R&B as well. Yeah.
Technotronic, Jodeci. Pump up the jam.
We're sharing all these ones that are very sexy, and I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to share mine now. Okay, what if you're doing something else, and you have, like, your house cleaning playlist on, but then you're just so taken with how attractive your husband looks when he's like cleaning that
your house cleaning playlist then becomes your love making playlist.
Yeah, right. Like okay. Like you're just like we're tidying up, we're cleaning, and then he like
splish splash, I was taking a bath all on a Saturday night.
No, I listened to like
just relaxing in the tub.
I listened to really old weird like 50s doo-wop music
funny.
When I'm cleaning my house, and then we started getting freaky deaky. And
big band. It's gonna affect your rhythm. That's what it's gonna
a
do.
A little bit. But the worst thing happened. So I really like this band, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. If you guys have ever seen Jersey Boys, then you know who I'm talking about. And they have a song called Sherry. And
I think I know that song.
My husband's mother's name.
Oh no! No! Alexa, anything but Sherry.
And like, I heard it, but I don't think
playing
heard
more
it.
Songs by Sherry.
No,
it's all Sherry.
So I start like
sharing
making
Sherry's playlist.
Sherry. I'm making
calling
more
Sherry.
No, stop! You gotta stop and make it worse. You're gonna like change my memories if I have it. Okay, so I'm like trying to drown it out with my noises because I'm like,
oh,
I don't
funny.
Think he's
it's
noticed.
Awkward, right?
So I'm like, ooh, yeah. And then I was like, it's getting louder, shit. So I have to get louder. So I'm going crazy.
Larry!
And then he finally stops and he's like, are you okay?
That's
I was like,
good.
Oh, I went too hard. It wasn't believable. I went
that's
like
funny.
Full porn. Sorry, my bad.
You never want to be asked
dial
if you're okay
back.
While you're making no. sex noises.
I was like, yeah, I'm fine.
Totally. Totally reasonable. What?
You just never made these sounds come out of me.
Wow. As you're trying
keep it
to
going, big boy.
Then the song's over and you go back to normal and he's like, what happened to the noises?
No, oh, sorry. We've moved on to
oh
a different
oh my gosh,
tune.
That's an awkward one.
I know, to I can't. Ugh, that's the
I
worst
there, I think there's a song like, Joanna, something like that. That would, oh my God, if that came on, I'd be mortified.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
Mom names?
Yeah,
mom
what's
names
y'all's mom's
songs?
Names?
Kathy.
Sue?
Yeah.
There's no song.
There's
got to
be some Sue
Kathy.
Songs.
I think there is.
There's Johnny Cash
Peggy Sue?
A boy named Sue.
A boy named
there's
Sue.
There's Peggy Sue.
It'd be super awkward. Not only is your mom, but they're talking about a boy.
Wake up, little Susie.
Wake
Susie.
Up, little Susie. Yeah. Wake up.
Yeah.
All those should not be on your playlist.
No.
But see, I don't really, I have to think that my mom's name is Sue.
Sue,
so
Sue,
I don't
Studio.
Think it would mess me up as much. But like my dad's name is Jammer James. So if one of those happened, then that would be weird.
Okay.
Jim.
Me.
I don't think that Jim doesn't land in songs very often.
No. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm like, trying to think of one with Jim right now. Come on, hit us up.
I just went to Pearl Jam and it's like Jeremy Spokane.
It's close enough.
It's like if we're doing it to Pearl Jam, then we have other problems. Like, we're big sad.
Do you recall any of the songs when you were younger and you thought you were like getting all spicy? And now you think back and like, why was it that?
Oh,
funny?
Yeah, like put that on, set the
oh.
mood.
Yeah, like I thought it was sexy at the time.
I wanna you like an animal.
That is a terrifying song. But it's good. It is weirdly sexy, but it's not something I want to
have
sex
on?
To. Yeah, yeah it seems like violent.
Most of I was so
seems like it's gonna take a turn at some yeah. point in the song.
Most of those songs, like it's funny when I look back at the songs that like you just referenced Nine Inch Nails, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know what any of that stuff meant. Like I didn't really get it because I was like a middle schooler and I was like. Like, what a feel you from the inside. Like, I don't even get that. Like,
what does that mean?
You're like, inside. What are you, like, stabbing them or something? Like, what are you, like, sticking your finger in their nose? Because I was so kind of like oblivious to what sex was. I was like, yeah. I don't really get it. And also, when he was like, I want to bleep you like an animal, I was like, that sounds mean, man. Yeah. I don't know why you're trying to do all that.
That takes me right back to the teen clubs. And I saw a meme the other day that was like, your parents never dropped you off at a club at 13 years old and came and picked you up at midnight. We are not the same.
That's not, yeah.
Back in our day, there was a teenage club, some
youth
weird
centers
creepo
and stuff.
Guy like ran it. Why was our parents dropping us off at this strange club? Yeah. And I very distinctly remember that song coming on a lot. That was like the big song.
With like 13-year-olds?
Yeah, and then there was a couple in the middle of the dance floor that everybody had kind of scattered out around, and they were... I mean, like they had clothes on, but that was pretty much
the old grind.
Yeah. She was on the ground and he was doing the thing.
They're babies. You're babies.
Right. My son's 10. I'm like, never would you go to a club
like
that.
It's crazy.
I remember the panic attacks I used to have when I got to college and everyone was going to like clubs, like real clubs. So I was going to school in Los Angeles and there's this club on Hollywood and Vine called The Palace. And I was like, how do you dance with anybody? Like, I don't understand this game. Like, you just kind of go in there, and like, I'm way taller than everybody, so I just felt awkward as it is because I could, like, over the top of everybody. And I'm like, you just kind of walk up to someone and just start, like, kind of rubbing on them, right? That's not, like, you know, you were like in the middle of beep, 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 beep. Hey, nice to meet you. And then,
well, let me
my buddy was like, you grind on them, and if they grind back, then you're in for dancing. And, if they go off, then they're out.
Yeah. Moot. And then, like, back in our day, you didn't even have to do much. You just stood there while she grinded and, like, this pose. You know, you
just tried to stick.
Just wean her
keep
out.
Keep the elbows in.
Just let her rub.
Stay in your box. Elbows in.
Elbows in. Wean her out.
I just remember feeling so weird. Like, wait a minute. So I go up and try to, like, stand next to her. And if she dances back, then we're good. But if she dances away, then I'm a creep or something. And I got to move to the next one. Like, okay, how about you?
The whole thing
what about you?
Dancing has changed so much because our grandparents, they used to spin each other and do some really cool moves. You'll see it occasionally at a wedding.
You guys had to learn things.
All we did was learn, like, sex moves. That's all you're doing. And you're just trying to show her what you can do.
Yeah. R&B really ruined,
I was
know what
a
I mean?
Confused person, and then I went to clubs and I was like, okay, all I'm learning is that men get to do a lot less.
They do less.
You guys just lean back. Look at all. She's going to bust
hold
a
on for the ride.
She's going to bruise her tailbone doing all that. And he just gets to stand there, elbows in, wiener out. Like, it's the easiest thing ever.
It would be super unnerving, though, if you went to like a dance club now, like it's a club in Atlanta, and someone just broke out the jitterbug.
Jitterbug.
I want to do that.
Like, in the middle.
Start Charleston.
Yeah, but not dressed like an old-timey person. Dressed like you are clubbing nowadays, and then doing the thing that Will, Fresh Prince, and Carlton do where they hook feet.
Yes.
Turn down for what?
There's so many. Now I want to do that, but I can't dress. I cannot dress. You won't want them to know
electric
that it's
slide?
Coming.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You got to dress
sliding.
Normal. You got to look really cool. You got to like.
That's going to come straight out of nowhere.
Yeah. Then you make the circle bigger and bigger, and everybody's like, oh man, they're up to
that's
something.
That's a viral TikTok.
Are we all doing the jitterbug?
Nuts.
Jitterbug.
Yeah. And then you just bust that out.
Do the jitterbug.
Jasmine, let's get to that dating app. I just heard about this.
I've heard about it. Yet.
Called The Score, a dating that runs your credit. It's like a soft credit check, right? But how does it like score the credit? It just say flat out like this person's a 690.
Does it hurt your credit?
Yeah, like I don't. From
no,
what
it's a soft check. So they don't,
it's a soft check.
Yeah, it's a soft check. So it doesn't report back to your credit. It just they soft run it.
Okay, word.
Yeah. So from what I understand, this app, like you've got to have a certain credit score. I think it's you can't be below 700 or something. Here, let me look it up before I misspeak.
Let me. I'm never going to get on the app.
I mean, there's times in my life I could have been.
Yeah,
not now.
I might make it. I might make it at the end of the year, but
I was kind of to bring this up in front of you, Rondell. I didn't want you to think I was singling you out.
Oh no, you're good. Trust me. I'm going to make it there, but not now. But here's the thing. I'm definitely going to find one of my friends with a 700 score that's married and just...
Yeah, use that.
Wait a minute.
I wish I could help right now, but I'm a six...
Use their
I know this because every time my wife wants to go look at a house, I just go, God.
You start sweating bullets.
Well, because then I'm like, am I late on it? I have a student loan that I'd pay... Experience.
Okay, so it's a
I get an Experian email and I'm like, just don't. Why are you ruining my day right now?
Okay, 675 or above to join.
675 or above. That's not bad.
That's
okay,
that's a moderate score, right?
Yeah, I could get that in like three more payments.
You know, it's funny though. I actually do believe that that's a good idea, only because a credit does show. And look, there are exceptions. If you had student loans that defaulted, I had a loan that I defaulted on when I was in L.A. just doing comedy with a bunch of roommates. And I defaulted on a loan that I didn't even know I was supposed to pay because one loan got bought by another company and they had all my old contact information.
Brian, the word is loan, not give.
Well, I know, but it was a student loan.
I know.
But here's the thing, Jasmine, they just broke. So I didn't know this. I knew who my loan was through. And they stopped sending me, but they stopped sending me notifications.
Hey.
And then these gangsters, they just sell your debt to other people, right? But they don't give all the current contact info. So I was paying what I thought was a loan to one person. Then they stopped asking me for money, and I stopped paying it because that would be stupid. And then the new company started sending it to moot@bc.edu, which is an email that a long time ago Boston College was like, you have 3 months to handle your business, and we're taking our email back.
Yeah.
They don't want you using their bc.edu email. And so then I found out that I was defaulted, and then they started calling me all the time. And I remember one time this lady called me, and she's like, hey, every month you don't pay this, your credit score goes down. And I was like, what's my credit score right now? And she goes, I don't know. And she goes, I go, well, it should be zero. And she goes, zero? And I go, zero, because that's the odds of you getting money out of me right now. Lady, I'm not paying you for fun.
Listen,
like, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, and by the way, my wife was a credit collector. That was her first job at 16.
Wait, are you kidding? No.
She was going to a call center.
Oh, she'd be a stone cold
16, she was going to a call center and just badgering people on the West Coast to pay their loans, which is hilarious because she was in Kennesaw, Georgia at 16, living with her parents. And her job was...
Yeah, you wouldn't get me.
No, that's a perfect time to have that job because she has no idea what debt is.
Yeah.
She's like, why wouldn't you pay your money?
Yeah, they wouldn't get... They tried to get
like,
me.
Like, as an adult, I'd be like, oh, I totally get it. I've been through all these hard times. But as a 16-year-old, you're like, hey, lazy ass.
Yeah, pay
your bills.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, there's no like life experience context.
No, none. So you're just laughing in their faces as they just feel
so
bad.
Great.
100%.
I guess she crushed it.
There's a.
Yeah. Well, how would you not? You have no other.
16.
You're just
making fun of these losers. 100%. Like, okay, loser, I'm 16 and I can pay my bills. It's like,
right, because my parents do.
I'm not gonna let this 16-year-old make fun of me.
There's credit fixers. There's also credit fixers out there.
I got a buddy who's one.
Yeah.
His name is Steve Fusile.
I got a dude that is one of his good friends is a credit fixer.
Which is
it's
a weird business
legit?
Too.
It works. I had a buddy that was at like a 530 and he did credit fixing and I think his shit jumped up to like a 645 like a month and a half, 2 months.
I've told people this before.
All they're doing is wiping shit. They're not doing anything that's we can't do on our own.
Yeah, if you have a job. They can know how to get rid of like the thing that you defaulted on or whatever.
Yeah, that's all they're doing. They're not doing anything that's hard.
But if you have a job and you make
way
money,
way to minimize their roles, guys.
Sorry. I mean,
Jasmine, how many people do you know who are like? And no offense to my friend Steve Fusile, love him, but also he's been to jail. He's done a bunch of crazy stuff in his life. How many credit fixers do you know who like are the most legit person in the world? They're not. They dabble in barely legal crime.
And that's why they know
That's
how they know to fix credit.
You know what? You need a criminal to fight criminals.
100%.
And everyone who's like, everyone who reports you and wants some debt that they say you own, they're probably borderline criminal.
100%.
These apartment complexes and like.
My tax guy used to work for the IRS.
Right. Yeah.
See? And
it's like the show Prison Break.
Yep.
To break out of the jail.
You got to go into jail.
Oh, dude, he gives me all the hacks. He's like, he tells me, he like legitimately gives me all the hacks of like, this is bullshit. The IRS makes you do this, but it's not legit. We don't care about this.
See? Which is nuts that you have somebody that's on the inside.
Criminal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it. You gotta have a spot.
Bruh. And that's why I've never trusted the government, but I'm always just like, come find me, dog. You want your money? Come find me.
There's a lot of reasons.
Come find me.
A lot of reasons the government's shady when it comes to taxes and stuff. Another one that I always love is when
great. We're all going to be dead after this airs.
I was just about to say, the government's listening to this like
they're
crazy.
They're going to snuff us out.
Look, my dad owes $1.77 million to the government, to the IRS. So I'm already marked for death. So you guys already walked into a dead man's studio when it comes to taxes. So here's what I always love, though. Anytime somebody runs for public office and gets elected, the whole first, like, all of it right out the gates is just how much money they owe in back taxes.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is insanity. How did you not, like, how are you getting away with this?
This is ridiculous.
Because they haven't been audited. So they owe, like Obama owed, like, yeah, Obama owed, like, $500,000 in back taxes just to become president. It's like, they all do. Every single one of them. And
they're all corrupt, dude.
They're all corrupt. I didn't even see that $500,000 laying around.
It doesn't matter, dude. It's all political. And I hate to get, we're going to go crazy here for a second. But if you're in that group and if you're in that club, it doesn't matter what side mm-hmm. you're on, they'll protect you. We're just all the buffoon pawns. Oh, like, oh, here's all my tax money. Exactly. Here I'm going to be broke and stupid and sick and then die with nothing. Cool.
Well, you're going to die regardless, but with nothing is... Well.
No, meaning like with nothing to like to give to my family or anybody else. Like,
yeah.
we keep them sick, stupid, and poor.
And that's why I'm very... I heard this person, I think it was Mike, said it this I saw in an interview he said the other day. He said that he doesn't worry about this shit no more. He doesn't worry about making a ton of money. He doesn't worry about, you know, this, that, and the third, because once you die...
Yeah,
you have to give it to somebody. Your debt goes to somebody. Your money goes to somebody. This goes to that. That goes to this.
In fact, I look at it the other way now because my dad's in the negative. So it's like, when he dies,
so
he's like, what's he going to leave for you?
App. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm just like, man, I really hope there's not some loophole that the IRS is able to like lasso me on. Like, I worked for them when I was 19, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's funny. That debt transfers to you.
Oh, I know for a fact when I make it, dude, they're going to be on my ass.
Well, how screwed are you? But see, you're not a junior, which is good. How screwed are people who are juniors?
Oh, man. Yeah,
dad?
That blows, bro.
In fact,
how pissed would you be?
My plan is if everything like shit hits the fan, I'm just gonna change everyone in my family's name.
Last name to
Bezos.
Bezos.
Just see what happens.
Oh, that is.
I bet if you're a Rondell Bezos, you get a credit line for $100,000.
Oh, easily. They wouldn't ask.
They'll just gamble on it.
They wouldn't ask any questions either.
Rondell Bezos.
They wouldn't ask any. Is this? They might. They might.
Ronald Bezos.
I might have to change it.
Yeah. Ronald Bezos. I think you had a better shot with that. Or Zuckerberg. Ronald Zuckerberg. You're good.
Oh, Ron Zuckerberg. That has a ring to it.
Ronnie Zuckerberg.
Ron Zuckerberg.
But also, he has like two Asian kids. So that's, you know.
Whatever.
So
means, see, that's good. Okay.
Dude, means
then they can,
he's yeah, also born he in South Africa.
He's also born in South Africa.
All you need is
no, that's Elon.
Elon. That's what it is.
Elon Zuckerberg?
Elon is. South Africa.
Elon Zuckerberg. Child.
What did they all just have sex?
I think it would be golden.
Wait, so Jasmine, let me ask you a question. With the Score app, I mean, with the Score, like, are there, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's super hot people there. I mean, like, have you?
I would hope because I feel like it goes hand in hand.
I don't know.
Well,
man.
No, I know a lot of sugar mamas that I've messed with back in the day that were like not that attractive, but they gave me.
How are they a sugar mama though?
Because they had money.
Yeah, they gave me a ton of money.
No, so that's what I'm saying. I feel like hot. It goes hand in hand. Hot and good credit score.
Because
how you do one thing is probably how you do another.
I don't know.
Like, okay,
I don't know, Jasmine. Y'all like bad boys. How many bad boys have a great credit score?
Plenty of Fish. You got like a 200, and you got like a expense card at Ace Cash Express.
A great point that you just made. If you do have a Plenty of Fish, you're probably at the bottom of the barrel. No pun intended. No pun intended.
I'm just saying, that's how I got a bed bug in my knee was from
messing with a dude with Plenty of Fish.
Yes, his name was Andrew, and I got bed bugs because of him, and one was swimming around in my knee, and I still have a scar.
So your bet... there's so many inappropriate
there's
angles.
A lot to, there's a lot to unpack there, I know. But
why
like,
were you
that
being...
So
your knees
2009.
Were just... You were just
oh my
killing
God.
These bed bugs with your knees.
I don't know. Okay, so here's what's weird. No, I know.
That, there's something else that's here. Weird?
You got a bed bug swimming in your knee?
Isn't that weird? Okay, so anyway, I had this thing on my knee and I was like, this is so weird. It's not going away. It's not a pimple, whatever. So I go to my dermatologist. Y'all, they do one of those scope or whatever it is under the microscope. And so she shows me on the screen. She goes, hey, so do you see this? So she's zooming in. Y'all, I'm not kidding you. It's this little thing that's swimming around. I freaked out. I was like, take it out. I'll stab it out. Take it out. I will fucking... Sorry, I will pierce this and drain it myself if you don't right now. Like,
gotta,
I started freaking
out. You really are making people terrified about doggy style right
Yeah,
now.
Right.
It was flea and tick.
I swear. Literally. No, here's what's crazier. We hadn't even slept together. Like, we literally just, like, laid next to each other and nothing happened. And so that's how, like, I got an STD in my knee
that's
from
a red
not
flag.
Even having
That's
sex.
Hectic, man.
Red flag.
That's hectic.
Terrible. Did you but then he ghosted me on Valentine's Day, and that's probably why.
Wait, did you tell him?
Did maybe?
But then after that, all right,
Jasmine, do you think he's blaming
married,
you? Do you think he's blaming
weird.
You for the bed bugs then?
No, hell no. He knows. Y'all know how psycho I am. OCD. There are no bed bugs in my home.
So did you?
He also. Go ahead. What?
Did you stop using Plenty of Fish after that?
That was the catalyst to it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and so good. Then I went and wrote a nasty review about it because I'm that person.
Plenty
I was
of.
Like, I got a bed bug in my knee because of your app.
Plenty of rashes. So
Man,
plenty of rashes.
So my point being, if you probably are, you more than likely are a frequent user of Ace Cash Express if you do have an account.
Well, I'm gonna scam the shit out of this app because I'm gonna get on it.
All right, Rondell wants a rash.
Yep. Nope. I don't. No, not Plenty of Fish. I'm talking about Score. I'm definitely gonna find a way to get on this.
Rondell wants a rash. Sounds like a kid's book.
Rondell wants a rash. Write it. That'll get him above 675.
Oh, 100.
Rondell wants a rash.
I think so.
All right, that's going to do it for today. Rondell wants a rash. That's a good way to end the show. Ladies, hit him up at Who Is Rondell if you'd like to help out in the rash department. Mm-hmm. At Jasmine Sadri.
Send it to Jasmine.
Yeah, and if you get bed bugs, don't come near me. I don't want your bed bugs.